Let's go in our Bibles tonight to the 128th Psalm, Psalm 128. And tonight we're going to look at how to be blessed. How to be blessed. It's a good way to start the new year. How to be blessed from Psalm 128. And we know that a lot of these psalms were written by David or inspired by David for others to write. David was certainly a man who knew the blessings of God, and he knew how to obtain the blessings of God. So we're going to look at that tonight. And verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be, blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Let's pray. Father, guide us now as we look at your word and look at this psalm that teaches us how to be blessed, and that we will certainly work toward that in this coming year, to have your blessings upon us and to serve you as you would have us to serve. Again, we ask you to work on our hearts for those who are not sure they're saved, maybe listening tonight, help them to get that settled. Come to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, love you, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone." So notice, first of all, that this works for everyone. Can't exempt yourself. Say, "Well, you don't know my situation." Well, wait a minute. This works for everyone. Blessed is everyone, first of all, that feareth the Lord. Now, fear of the Lord is mentioned many times in the Bible. If we were to look at all the verses, we would run clear out of time tonight, and you would say, "When is he going to quit?" But we're going to look at a few of them, and we're going to go down. There's the what Bible teachers call the law of first mention. And so we're going to go to the first time that fear is mentioned, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, and we're going to look at several of the references on the fear of the Lord so that we can draw what these references throughout the Bible, to many of them, have to do with the fear of the Lord. It's like I've always said, the best interpreter of the Bible is to let the Bible interpret itself. So if we want to really understand the fear of the Lord, we got to go and look at all these references and draw from it. And so here we have the first reference to fear in the Bible. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So notice, very first time that we see this word fear mentioned, it has to do with exceeding great reward. And then we'll move to the second time here in chapter 42 and verse 18. Chapter 42, verse 18. And now we're just going to shoot through some references concerning the fear of the Lord, so we can pull out just what does this mean to fear the Lord. In 42, verse 18, remember Joseph, he's saying here to his brethren, "And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God." So we think about Joseph's life, and what was it that caused him? What did he do, as he says here, "For I fear God"? He obeyed God. Even though he was sent by his brothers, they tried to kill him, and that didn't work, and so they sent him into Egypt, and he determined that he would serve his God. No matter what he faced there, Joseph served the Lord. And eventually what happened to him? Great reward. I mean, he became the ruler, really, right down to it, the ruler of all Israel, of all Egypt. Let's go over to Exodus 9:30. When they're getting ready to leave Egypt, Moses is going to lead them out. And in Exodus 9 and verse 30, it says, "But as for thee," now this is Moses telling Pharaoh, "but as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God." So what did it have to do with he wouldn't fear the Lord God? He wouldn't obey the command of God to let the people go. He wouldn't obey. And he said that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. Now as we go through these, we're going to see that all of these things about the fear of God have to do with being obedient to the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 3 and 4. Leviticus 19:3-4. "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourself to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." It was told to the children of Israel that they were to keep his commandments, connected with the fear of the Lord. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God." And now notice, it doesn't say "and," it says to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And then chapter 4 and verse 10, we'll jump back there, chapter 4 and verse 10, and we'll start there in verse 8. "And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law? Children of Israel were given the law, which I set before you this day. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them to hear my words, to hear my words, to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." And then we jump over to chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, 17 and verse 19. "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein," talking about the king now, "all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." And so that, notice that, that's how he's going to learn to fear the Lord, is to do and to keep all the words. Now, let's take Deuteronomy here. We'll go to chapter 14 and verse 23. Go back again to 14 and verse 23. We'll start with 22. pages are sticking together here. 14 and verse 22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of all thy flocks, thou shalt, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God. And so all of these have to do, if you're using your thinking cap, the fear of the Lord is so connected with obeying his word, obeying what he has said to do. So look at some more. 1 Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 11, and verse 7. 1 Samuel 11, verse 7. Here we have, and he took a yoke of oxen. This is King Saul. Verse 7. And you can read verse 6, says the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings. And you read the tidings on up, they heard that all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And he came out and heard the field. Saul could have kept his kingdom if he would have been obedient. But the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever come not forth after Saul and after Samuel, you see these yoke of oxen that's been hewed in pieces, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. They didn't want their oxen to get ripped to pieces. They were afraid that would happen if they didn't come. You can go back to Deuteronomy 31 and verse 12, and here it says, 31 and verse 12 says, getting 31 here, gather ye the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. Always connected in these passages that have to do with obeying the Lord. In Psalm 34, we'll jump ahead a little here and go to Psalm 34 and look at verses 9 through 16. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In the context of fearing the Lord, seeking the Lord, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Okay, what is it then? What is man? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Well, I can answer that question. I'm a man that like to see that. Love many days and see good. Okay, let's see the fear of the Lord. That's what he's teaching us here. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such of be it of a contrite spirit. Every reference, we're pulled into being obedient to the word of God. 115 in Psalms, 115. Many verses, but we're just jumping through some of them to get the gist of all of them. Psalm 115 and verse 13. Here it says, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Over to the book of Proverbs. Solomon had a lot to say about this in Proverbs chapter 1. The Word of God tells us here, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we have a contrasted parallel here, and it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice how that's tied to the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge. Again, this thing of being obedient. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so shalt thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Tied in with trying to figure out what God has said in His Word and being obedient to it. Chapter 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There it is again, doing the right thing. Ephesians, let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Here, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, husbands and wives, doing what? Being obedient to the Word of God, tied in with the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. Every one of these references, clear through when you check it all out, are tied in with being obedient to the Word of God. And so we could say, if we're not obedient to the Word of God, we don't have the fear of the Lord. This word, in all of its cases, Hebrew and Greek, has the main meaning of simply to be afraid. To be afraid. What is we are to be afraid of? We are to be afraid of the consequences if we don't obey God. That's the fear of the Lord. If I don't conform my life to this word, I need to fear God, because there will be consequences. Solomon, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, he told us this. He tried about everything, and when you read that book, he certainly tried everything to find pleasure. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, after he had just gone through everything, he came back to tell us what the conclusion was. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we have it very well. You know, when we find about the teaching in the Scripture about the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, it tells us, knowing therefore, must all appear in verse 10 for the judgment seat of Christ, and we may receive the things done in our body, whether according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Just read the Old Testament. Read what happened to those people. Read what happened to the children of Israel when they got out of line. God just didn't say, oh, well, I'll be kind to the, oh well, I'll let it go. No, his wrath fell. Fear means to fear. Yes, it has the meaning of having a reverential trust, but it's the main purpose is fear, to be afraid to go against God's word, to live our lives according to his word. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, this is a familiar passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, for if we, notice he's talking to Christians here, sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And if you study the book of Hebrews, you know what he's saying there in the whole context of the book. You don't get saved again. There's only one time sacrifice for sin. He hath perfected, verse 14 of chapter 10, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's no more sacrifice, not get saved again, but here's what you can look for. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, that's red hot anger, which shall devour the adversaries. Certainly read the book of Revelation, what happens in the end time. Destruction. And he says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. You remember the man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day? He didn't fare very well. He was stoned. Why? Because he didn't obey the fear of the Lord. He died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. We were washed from our sins in his blood, Revelation 1:5. And an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I remember, I believe it was R.A. Torrey said that when we really need to see sin as exceeding sinful. And so much of the time we take sins and we make sin, certain sins okay, certain sins all right. But we need to realize that sin has its consequences and we need to fear the Lord. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. That was told to the children of Gad and Reuben when they made a promise to go over Jordan and fight, and then they could come back on the other side of Jordan and have their inheritance. And he said, if you don't do it, if you don't keep your word and what you're supposed to do, then your sin will find you out. And we need to learn from that. And so the first thing here in Psalm 128 is the fear of the Lord. That's what we need, to fear the Lord, to be the people who determine that we will follow the word of God to the best of our ability. Yes, we are human. Yes, we make mistakes. But we know we also have 1 John 1:9. And we can confess our sins. Look at David. And one of the things that he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us, is because when he did sin, his heart was broken over it, and he confessed it and got it right with the Lord. And you can read that in the Psalms. So that's the first one. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Then there's a semicolon that kind of ties it with it. That walketh in his ways. Walketh in his ways. Keep his commandments appears 18 times in the Bible. And it'll be enough times to get us to think. 1 John 5:3, if you go back there and look at it, walking in his ways, 1 John 5:3. Here the Bible says to us, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And so his commandments are not grievous. And if we really love the Lord, Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you go back to Exodus chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20, we know there we have the Ten Commandments. And we know as Bible students that we're not under the law, but we're under grace. But let's go back and look at the commandments and realize that in the New Testament, 9 of these commandments were all repeated, brought over into our time. So what's so bad about them? God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And what's wrong with that one? "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." What's wrong with that one? We shouldn't be setting up any image and bowing down to it. It says, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." And then he says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." What's wrong with that? We should be following that today. Verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so that one we notice is when we compare Scripture with Scripture, that was given specifically to the Jews. It's not repeated in the New Testament. Jesus did not repeat it. We worship on the Lord's Day. But we do learn a principle from that man needs a day of rest out of every week. And we learn that, but that's not a commandment that we are taught to follow in the New Testament. And there are some who argue against that, but if you compare Scripture with Scripture, you will not find it repeated to follow in the New Testament. But this one is, verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Ephesians 6:1-2. "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And the 10th one, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." What's wrong with those commandments? Nothing. And those are good principles that are retaught in the New Testament. But you see, we are not under the law. Christ fulfilled the demands of the law, not only the 10 main ones, but the all of the laws of the Old Testament. He fulfilled them so that we are not under the law for salvation, because we fall short, can't keep it. But we are under the law of Christ. We are under the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 mentions the law of Christ. We go over there and look at it. Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 6, verse 2. Not chapter 2, chapter 6, verse 2. "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." was the law of Christ? Well, let's look at it a little bit here real quickly in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, there in heaven and earth, speaking of Jesus. So we are to be after the image of Christ. Romans 12:1-2. We know this one. Some of you I know have it memorized in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In John chapter 13 and verse 15, John 13:15, here he says, for I have given you an example. He washed the disciples' feet. He was doing it for a purpose. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Walk in his ways. The blessed man fears the Lord and walks in his ways. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Follow his steps. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. That henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, which many are today, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The deceivers are out there. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. To grow up into him. We're to be Christ-like. We're to follow in his steps. Go back to the book of John, chapter 1. And look what happened here in John chapter 1. Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, Jesus, and they followed Jesus. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. If you go back to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and I think that's Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I don't know why. Or chapter 4 it is. I don't know why I wrote down there chapter 1. Must have been daydreaming. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. Look in chapter 9 and verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. Let's go over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 27. John 10:27. My sheep, that's us. That's we believers. Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see what the scripture's telling us? We're under the law of Christ. We're to follow his example. We are to live the way he lived. And so when we go back to Psalm 128, let's go back there and wrap this thing up of how to be blessed. First of all, we fear the Lord. We know his word and we try our best to live by it, because we know the consequences if we don't. And then secondly, we try to walk in his ways. We try to follow his example, the things that he taught us. And what is the result? Notice what he says the result is here. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You remember how Job told us how that the wicked labored and another reaped. Well, God says that if we will fear the Lord and walk in his ways, we'll eat the labor of thine hands. So many people work all their lives to gain things, and then they end up not being able to enjoy it. And God says that thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. You can hold your place here and go to Proverbs 22 and verse 4. And here it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. I will humble myself to live by the word of God, to walk in his ways. You can't be proud and self-seeking and want for only self and be following the Lord. That won't fit the law of Christ. He said to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. And remember what he said, that the two things that the law hangs upon, to love thy neighbor as thyself. Put God first and love thy neighbor as thyself. So notice, he says that eat the labor of thine hands. And then he says, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Happy and well. When we learn to fear the Lord, and we learn to try to live our lives in his ways, to walk in his ways, in his steps, it'll be well with thee. And then he says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. We'll have a fulfilled family. Boy, a family in America is it's almost like a trash bin. It's a mess. And when we determine to have the fear of the Lord and determine to obey his word and walk in his ways, we have a fulfilled family. Unity, not divided, a happy home. That's what will come out of it if we choose as parents to live that way. Be a fear of the Lord, be obedient to his word, walk in his ways. Now when we look at this word blessed, we find that it appears several times in the scripture. In fact, I do not have the time to go through these multitude of verses I have written down here, but I'm going to take you through just a few of them. We have a few minutes, so I'm going to get through a few of them. We're going to go again back to the law of first mention in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 1 verse 22, God's talking about the seas and the fowls. He says, the sea creatures and the fowls, he says, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. So notice that in connection, the first time blessed is used, blessed, it's to be fruitful and multiply. And then notice the second time here in verse 28, he says that to man. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That word replenish is the Hebrew word, means to fill up. fill it up. It doesn't mean to replenish it like we take it today, but it means to fill it up. He said the same thing in chapter 9, verse 1 to Noah after he came off of the ark. And it's the blessed there is with being fruitful and multiplied. As you study this word blessed through the scripture, you find this same thing, that you will be blessed, you will be happy, it'll be well with you. You'll have a fulfilled family. You'll eat the fruit of thine hands. And let's go to Psalm chapter 1. I know you know this one. And here it is, tracing blessed through the scriptures. We find just not enough time to go through them all. But it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Very clear. Chapter 34. Chapter 34 and verse 8. We read this before. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And the young lions, verse 10, there's no want. In verse 9, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. All the time you go through this word blessed in the scripture, you see it with these things, that we'll be happy, we'll be well, have fulfilled life. And thus jump here to, I've got so many of them that I'm just going to give you the references. 40 and verse 4, 41, verses 1 and 2 in the Psalms, verse 84 and verse 5, I wish we had time to look all these up, 94 and verse 12, 106 and verse 3, 112, 1, verses 1 and 2, 119, 1 and 2, and thus look at that one just quickly, 119, 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And then there's 128 verses 1 and 2, 144 verse 15, Proverbs 8, 32 to 34, 16, 20, 27, 22, 9, 28, 14, 29, 18, 31, 28 with the virtuous woman there, she'll be blessed. And Isaiah 30, 18, 32, 20. And then look at Isaiah 56 and verse 2. 56 and verse 2. Every reference you run through on this blessed, you find these things. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. And again, in conjunction with doing what God said to do. And in the context there to Israel. And they were to keep the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was given to Israel, not to the church. And notice Matthew chapter 5 and verses 3 through 11. We won't read that. Pastor Ken taught on that and shows you how that when blessed, all if you do these things, if you do it, you'll be blessed. Chapter 11 and verse 6 of Matthew. Matthew 24 and verse 46. We'll look at that one. Matthew 24, verse 46. It says here, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And that's repeated again in Luke 12, 37 and also 43. Find what? Find so doing. And then Luke 11, 28, John 13, 17, John 20, 29, Acts 20, 35, Romans 14, 22, James 1, 12, and verse 25, and chapter 5, verse 11, 1 Peter 3, 14, 4, 14, Revelation 1, 3, 22, 7, 14, and 1 John 3, 3 through 5. And so over and over again, and 33, verse 12 of Psalms tells us, it says, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. That's the trouble with America today. we have failed to fear God as a nation, and we have failed to walk in His ways. And as a result, we do not have these promises to eat the labor of thine hands. We're looking at a possible administration to come in that I'll guarantee you is going to be after your retirement accounts. And if they are able to put in everything into place that they want to do, you may have trouble eating the labor of your hands and happy, being well with you, when a nation fears God. But we have that promise that if we as individuals will fear the Lord, He'll take care of us, and we walk in His ways, and He'll get us through. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So back to Psalm 128 as we close this out. In Psalm 128, He tells us here, behold. Did you see it? Behold. That means look at this. That means, hey, hey, wake up, get this here. That thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Thus shall he be blessed. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Not many people get to see their children's children. And God promises that if we will fear the Lord and walk in His ways, and He will give us peace. In Micah 5:5, remember the Bible says about the Lord, this man shall be the peace. In Isaiah 9:6, He's the Prince of Peace. So we're going to walk in His ways. What are we going to find? Peace in the midst of the storm. Remember the disciples out on the sea in the midst of the storm, and they're thinking, we're going down. This boat is sinking. We're done. Jesus, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. You see, when you keep your focus upon Christ, that's what you find, peace. When you're willing to fear the Lord and walk in His ways, you find peace. Even in the midst of the storm, God will lead us through, and He'll take care of us, and we can trust Him. The great hope for America is revival. Will it come? I don't know. I don't know. We've gone so far. We've heaped our sins up to God so blatantly, kind of spit in God's face. I don't know if America will see revival, but we can see revival in our own hearts and in our church if we will determine to fear the Lord and walk in His ways and pray for our nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 had to do with Israel and Solomon's prayer, but it also is an application for us that if we will pray and seek His face, God will work in our hearts. But He's not going to restore our land until our land repents and turns to Him and forsakes its evil ways. We can't think that we can just pray and then our nation can go on and sinning and violating and aborting babies and killing the innocent and same-sex marriage and living together and all the things that America has approved today. And okay, we can just pray and God will take care of it. No, not until there is a nation that repents and turns back to God and puts away the evil things. Will God, blessed is that nation whose God and the Lord, whose God is the Lord. If we're going to be willing to continue to shove God out, I can say this from a sincere heart. We can pray all we want, but it isn't going to change it until America repents and turns back to God. And I think we should pray, and I believe we should pray and seek God's face in our own hearts and ask God to turn our nation back. But until our nation does turn, there's not going to be a reversal of judgment. Oh, how we need to fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Well, let's pray and we'll be done. Father, thank You. Thank You that You are there. And thank You that You have told us to pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for laborers in the harvest. Pray for our nation And we do pray for our nation. We do pray that we might see a revival and a turning back to you. And we know that's the answer. And we know we should pray. But we know that it's not going to happen until there is a turning back, until there is a forsaking of sin, until there is a movement to restore God to our government, to our land. And we can't go on in the sins that we have allowed and permitted in our nation and still expect the blessings of God. We can be blessed as individuals, though, and as our church, if we will determine to fear the Lord and walk in His ways, follow His steps. We just thank you for your word to guide us and help us in this coming year to do all we can to see our nation turn back to you by standing for truth and righteousness, by witnessing and trying to get the gospel out. And as men turn to Christ, nations can be changed. And we pray that we will do our part in witnessing, testifying, and standing for truth and righteousness in these last days that we live. Not compromise like so many are doing, but stand true. We thank you again and love you. Pray for those who are not sure they're saved, that they will ask Christ to forgive them of their sin and to be their Savior in these evil days that we live, in these last times. We thank you and love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.